Log Talk Radio.
Well, good evening. I'm Robert A. Wilson with Cowboy Wisdom NLI Radio. Tonight we got Amy Ligner. Amy Ligner on. She's a author of A Privilege, Until Next Time, Gilded Wing, The Sapphire Storm, and Telling Lowry 13. She's also a ghostwriter, editor, book reviewer. And she's also dealt with publishing companies in her past, and she's also dealt with editing books to be published, and she also has got some astute ingenuity when it comes to writing and things. She's a luminary literary goddess to me. She edits all my stuff. But anyway, without any further ado, I want to welcome Amy Ligner to the show. Welcome, Amy.
Well, thank you, Rob. I have to get a business card that says that. That luminary literary goddess. I mean, geez, that'll put me way over Stephen King. Thanks a lot for that.
You're very welcome. And Amy, you know, how is it that people get into publishing, editing their books the greatest, and when they get a little criticism, they quit because they don't want to hear it no more?
Well, let's be honest, that's any industry, Rob. I mean, for a writer, when you've spent a great deal of time, and let's face it, you spend a great deal of time on writing a book. It comes from your heart. It comes from your soul. It comes from your passion. These characters are all yours. And to have someone, a complete stranger, look that over and say to you, well, no thanks, you're just not good enough, or this book isn't good enough, that's kind of a slap in the face. So what I tell everybody right off the bat, if they want to be a writer or they're aspiring to be an author, or especially a published author, to make sure that the backbone is there, because there's a lot of downs in this industry, and the only way that you can make it is to really keep going. You cannot let somebody slam you down. You can't. There's a billion things out there to do, and if you have that story in your mind and you know it's a good story, then you get a very good editor and they help you out, and you will get that book published. So, you know, you do not give up. You can't.
And, you know, the only one that gives up when you give up, the only one you're giving up on is you. And your dream.
Well, yeah.
It's the person in the dream. But anyway, Amy, when it comes to thinking that your story's the best, and then when somebody says, gives you some feedback that isn't real savory, how do you get over that emotion or upset, do you feel?
Well, you have to really look at it from a different mindset. I mean, the author, when I have the author hat on, like with the Angel Chronicles, which are the books that you mentioned earlier, Until Next Time, Gilded Wings, and A Privilege, when that series was put together, it was the very first book, Until Next Time, which is the favorite book of mine that I've ever written. That started about 10 years ago. And I threw that in a drawer when I was done with it, because I sent out query letters, which was the appropriate thing to do. And I immediately got form responses back that said, no, thank you. And a lot of them, guys, there are form responses. Please try to keep that in mind. Your material is not being read in about 50% of these cases. They're reading about one page, and then they're just sending you back this query, you know, response just that's automatically on their computer. So keep that in mind, A. B, when I used to get general criticism and professional criticism, I actually loved that, because from your peers and your colleagues, these are people who have been in the industry for a very long time. And, you know, I automatically know I am not J.K. Rowling. I am not Stephen King. I am not Edgar Allan Poe. I'm not even close. And I am in a completely different genre. So I know going into it that I'm not the superstar and that I'm always right. So I like having that feedback from colleagues and peers, because they can really help me shine that story. You know, they can make me put that story together much better, so that the reader will hopefully like it much better, so the book does better. And so don't automatically turn off professional criticism. just don't take those query letters to heart that say, forget it. Because if you forget it, you know, you'll never go back to it. And you do not want to lose the fact that this is your dream.
And, you know, that is a person's dream. Everybody wants to write a book. But the thing is just sitting down and write it. And don't qualify it until it's all over with and you get it to where you want it. Isn't that true, Amy?
Well, yes, and everybody wants to write a book, I guess, but a large section of the population. Writing a book, though, is very much like being an auto mechanic. It's very much like being a financial stockbroker. If you don't have the heart and soul to do it, then you're probably not going to be a writer. If everybody had the skills and the heart to do it, then everybody in the world would be a writer. But you have got to make sure that it's something you want to do and something you feel very strongly about. Because if the story and the characters aren't there, I mean, you know, those characters really speak to you. And if you're just slapping something together because you want to get in on a fad, like, say, the vampires were about 10 years ago, if you're just wanting to put something together, hoping to capitalize on it, everybody, all the readers out there will know that. They're only going to read a book that they feel really says something. I mean, they really get into the characters. And I was very humbled by the fact that fans got into the Angel Chronicles and just took them to such heart. I was very, very, very humbled by how that happened. And now with the adult series, Talent and Lowry, which the first two books are 13 and The Sapphire Storm, that's a whole new genre. It's an adventure genre for adults and suspense and romance, and that's being accepted widely too. So I just happen to be very lucky in that respect. But I had to do a whole lot of learning, and I learn every day, and I think the day you die as a writer, you're still learning.
And, you know, that's the thing about it. You're always expanding your wisdom to write better. And that's one thing writing does, is open your wisdom to expand you. Don't you feel, Amy?
Well, yes, and writing helps. I mean, a lot of people just start writing in a journal or a diary. Nowadays, you know, there are bloggers, and there are such fabulous bloggers across the globe. I've been so lucky to work with some of them. They do reviews and interviews, and they get your book out to the public, and just the kindest people in the world. There's one, if anyone ever runs across her, called Hilly Bee. That's her name, H-I-L-Y-B-E-E. And she is the most outstanding person when it comes to books, giving constructive criticism, giving reviews, being a friend to authors. And there are a lot of bloggers out there. And they started that blog because they like to write. So they not only are bringing your book to the public, they're also, you know, being authors themselves. So that kind of kills two birds with one stone, which is nice. Social media has helped out a great deal in that respect.
Well, social media, isn't that the new, kind of the new way of working in the world, do you feel, Amy?
Oh, yes, let's be honest, that's taken over. As the daughter of a librarian, I still like to hold the book in my hand. I love the smell of a new book, just like a hockey player likes to smell the ice. And I still want that book in my hand. But I also know that ebooks, you know, Kindles, Nooks, all that happy stuff, they're all the rage. And of course they are. I mean, you can get a book for $7.99 or $2.99 on a Kindle, as opposed to having to spend $19.99 on a hardcover book. So it makes sense, and it's also good for people who are traveling, et cetera, et cetera. And the young generation and the YA novels just go crazy on Kindle. So, you know, that's how it is now. And it saves on marketing, it saves on advertising, certainly, and it gets your book into their hands. So, you know, social media is a great thing to have around.
And you can go to thewritecompanion.com and look at all of Amy's books, and that's the W-R-I-T-E companion.com. But I see down here at the bottom, you got coming soon from Suspense Publishing, book 3, The Hero's Companion. Enlighten people a little bit about what that's about.
Well, 13 was the first book that started off in New York Public Library. And one of the greatest things was that about a week after it came out, a best-selling author said it was the Da Vinci Code with hearts. So it was sort of a mix of Indiana Jones and the Da Vinci Code, and I was just blown away that that person had said that. The second one was The Sapphire Storm, where the adventure continues. And coming soon is The Hero's Companion, and that will be another puzzle that will include everything from a very old myth about Athena on the Acropolis, and it will take you on a variety of tours, actually, through the caves that Cleopatra used to own, which, of course, are absolutely real, and Herod's palace and various other places. So you can see where they're going next. It's a lot of fun.
You know, an adventure is actually a road trip with just sitting at home, isn't it?
Oh, yes. Well, I love history. I love doing research. There is an organization called UNESCO, UNESCO, that actually saves historical locations. And the study and the research that you can do with them, I have been able to find out so many absolutely interesting facts and myths and puzzles out there. And the locations are very, very real. And the backstories are absolutely real. So when Leia Talent and Gareth Lowry, my characters, go off on an adventure, the things that they see, as far as the locations are concerned, are based on absolute facts. As far as the fiction is concerned, of course, that's their own story. And the readers are following along with bated breath, which is nice. And but it's very much my own background. I love the type of Indiana Jones mixed with the historical knowledge. And it was just a lot of fun uncovering these puzzles. Pardon me. Uncovering these puzzles and putting them together like a jigsaw. So, and I'm just very happy that readers are having fun with it.
Well, you know, that's the thing about reading. You can take the adventure and still have fun. But you also can learn a lot about the geography of the world through fiction books, can't you, Amy?
Oh, yeah. Well, they're a lot of fun. I mean, people are they write to me about they went on Google and they found this palace or this specific house, like the Winchester House in San Francisco, and they found a certain room or a certain stained glass window I talked about, and they were all very excited because it was true. It was real. So it is fun to put truth in with the fiction for me. And I like to write different genres. I mean, the Angel Chronicles, again, were the first, and they were very, very special to me. And the third, the grand finale called A Privilege, came out a couple of months back, and they will be ending now. And with the Talon Lowry series, there will be 7 in total. So the next one coming out is number 3, so we have a while to go for that. But I also, of course, write other stories. I'm writing a nonfiction novel at the moment, and I'm also writing a fantasy-type horror novel that hasn't been written before. So it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, and your books are also available on Amazon. I had it all found here, but on Amazon.com, the Nook.
They're pretty much all over the place.
Yeah, and tell people that don't know about Smashwords what that is.
Oh, Smashwords actually is one of the sites that they're on. You can just go on there, and for $4.99, you can download the book. But it comes with just a little bit more stuff on Smashwords. Also autographs, things like that are on there. We also have a line of posters that we actually had to make because the fans were going crazy over the characters, so they wanted to know what each character looked like. And I had the most amazing cover artist for those books. Her name is Emma Michaels. And we met by mistake through the publishing company. I never would have met her. And I have to say, she did the most beautiful covers I've ever seen. And I owe her a great deal because I can't tell you how many fans said I went to these books because of the covers. And she's also doing posters now. Everybody knows of Emily and Matthew, which are the two main characters. but we'll be doing things for Jason as well. He's one of the characters, and there was a Team Jason actually being built out there by some female fans. So we'll be getting you guys his picture very, very soon. So with Tal and Lowry, they are available as soft cover books as well. They're not just e-books, whereas the Angels are.
And as you do these books and you keep publishing, do you feel yourself expanding in a willingness to write and an openness to tell people how you feel through books?
Well, actually, I've always been that way as far as books are concerned. I started writing when I was 13 and on a very horrible family vacation, and I'm sure people can relate. And I started to write a book on that vacation, and I haven't stopped since. I my imagination won't stop running most of the time, so that's an upside. I figure when it stops, then I'm done. But I always thought writing was a way to reach other people. You know, if you have something to say, not to preach, okay, but if you have something to say or you want them to have fun or see something new or learn something new, books are the best way to do it. And to me, you have to very, very, very much identify with your characters. And for me, with the Angels, Emily is very much me when I was a kid, so I understand her. And then with this adult series, Leia Talent is very much me as an adult. She has the job that I want. She's the head librarian, head research librarian at the New York Public Library. And I would actually beg them for that job. So it was fun. It's fun to write her as well.
And, you know, the thing about writing, you get to take the journey before anybody else, so you can go anywhere you want in your mind. And you really can actually start putting that forward in your life. Do you see that, Amy?
Oh, yeah, and it's exciting. I mean, it really is exciting. Every writer has their own way of doing things. Some create an outline so they know where the book's going from the beginning. Some people have certain hours during the day that they write. In my life, I sort of write whenever the character comes to me and tells me where we're going to go next. So it's like I see it through their eyes. So it's a lot of fun. It's like going to a grand opening Oscar film, or, you know, going to Broadway or for a new opening. You know, it's just a lot of fun for me because even I don't know sometimes what's coming. So, you know, I think I'm going in one direction and all of a sudden I'm going in another and it was a better direction. So it's a lot of fun.
And as you open up this, and you're also an editor, but you also, Amy, write articles and stuff for other people. So people can use your talents in many ways, a book reviewer, editor, article writer. What else are some of the things you do to help people put their wisdom or their ideas into literary art?
Well, I like helping debut authors especially because there's a lot of snags that you can hit out there. When you're in that mode where you've just written a book and you really care about it, then you start getting scared because then the author has to go away for a second and the business person has to come on the scene. And what that entails is trying to find the right editor. You have to be very, very careful with the editing process. When I first began my very first editing nightmares, I had with a book that I wrote, and I mean, I spent so much money. I got maybe 2 changes in the book, and it needed far more, believe me, because I was just starting out, so it wasn't good enough by any stretch of the imagination. And it took like 9 months to get the book back. You know, you have to be very, very careful. You have to find somebody you trust. Make sure you find someone who's been in the industry for a while and knows what editing actually is. And try not to all of a sudden take in the fact that you have to pay $10,000 or $5,000 to get your book edited, because that's absolutely not true. So there are some great editors out there, fantastic skills, fantastic background, fantastic education. They will help you. Just, you know, as with any industry, just be careful of the snake charmers because they're out there. and try if you can, and I'm not putting down self-publishing when I say this, okay? It's very easy to publish nowadays because you can do it yourself. But if you intend to be an author for a very, very long time, like for life, and that's what you want to do, try to go for traditional publishing houses and small publishing houses, because these small independent publishing houses, they're absolutely real. They're great people. They will help you market and advertise. They stand behind you. They're certainly way smaller than a Random House, but you have to remember that if you get a Random House, that's a big pile of mess too, because you really have to start understanding what they're going to do advertising-wise, what you have to do social media-wise. You know, contracts are not the same as they used to be, where the author was just paid $10,000 or $100,000, depending on who you were, up front, and then they just put the book together and it's sold. There are a lot, you know, with social media and ebooks and everything else, there's a lot you have to understand. So never sell yourself short. Make sure you find the person that you can work with.
And, you know, the thing about writing and publishing, isn't that got a lot to do with patience?
Oh, yes. Patience is a virtue. Patience is not something I have. it's not something I've ever had. So, yes, I got very, very frustrated at the beginning of all this. But I kept writing because it was at least fun for me. And the Angel Chronicles came about by mistake. I really, really fell across a fantastic publishing house, a small publishing house called Tribute Books. And they are amazing people. And, I mean, they have supported me and stood behind those books, and I can't tell you what a privilege it was to work with them. And then through book reviewing and through contacts in the industry, I fell over Suspense Publishing, which is out in Los Angeles, and they took the Talon Lowry series. And, again, I met up with these amazingly supportive people who, I mean, I'm floored. I'm absolutely floored and humbled to work with them. And I've heard so many horror stories from authors who got hooked up with, you know, not such great outfits. So it hurt their book, it hurt their name, and unfortunately with the social media world, if your name gets hurt, that can get hurt quick, and it can bury you. You know, the Globe sees your name through social media. So you want to be very, very careful that you work with the people who you feel and who can support you and who care about your books and who care about your writing, because these people have to be your partners and your friends for a long time. So I just like debut authors to be very, very careful when they're walking through the editing and publishing world.
And, you know, the publishing world, you know, the world is out to make a quick buck thinking they're going to get ahead. But really, in the end, they all end up in a bad place. So what is something that people should look for if they think they're in a bad publisher or something's unsavory? What is one thing that caught your eye when it was going on, when you was expanding through to where you're at today?
It's a very easy thing, actually. It's called customer service. When you get an editor or a ghostwriter, ghostwriting is more difficult. I do that for a few authors because, of course, it's their idea and it's their characters, but I have to write books. So if you're going to get into that kind of field, just make sure you know it's all about customer service. Don't sign a contract with someone who says, well, I'll call you in 6 months, or you will see your manuscript in 7 months back to you, but we need you to pay the upfront fee right now. That's very, very dangerous. Like I said, I'm not smashing anybody. Companies can do whatever they want, and there are very good companies out there. All I'm saying is as an author, and an editor, I'm not going to give someone $2,000 and then wait for 6 weeks to see what comes back to me. And then on the seventh week or the ninth week, realize, I haven't even been contacted. So, and try to make sure, guys, that it's not all email. Try to get a real person. Please get a real person on the phone. Make contact. You could be across the country from someone and can't see somebody face-to-face, but you can certainly do your research into their company background and their skills and make sure you talk to a real-life person on the phone. Email is just fine if you want to sell something or something like that or say hi to mom, but do not put a huge project like that or a great deal of money out of your hard-earned pocket into the hands of somebody you don't know. So just be very careful about it.
You know, and the people that really sometimes the ones you think are quiet, you don't think, and the ones that are boisterous, usually the more boisterous, sometimes the less sincere they are. Do you feel that, Amy?
Well, that depends on the person, actually. There's one person I've worked with who is an absolute cheerleader. She's the most boisterous person I've ever met in my life. And wow, she is on it. I mean, she's all about her job. There's a radio show and some TV people that I work with who are just, they're on it. They get their jobs done on time, but they're like cheerleaders. So I can't really say that a very boisterous person would be putting on a face for you, because boisterous people are actually good for authors, because that means they have passion for your work. And someone to care about your work.
Let me clarify that. Somebody tells you everything they're going to do, but you have trouble getting a hold of them. That's kind of a sign, isn't it?
Oh, that, yes. Yes, if you can't get a hold of somebody or you're leaving phone messages and no one's calling you back, that's not a good thing, no. And you get frustrated and you start getting scared because this is your book. This is your work. You toiled over this for, you know, some authors have written a book over 10 years. Some authors can write a book in 3 months. But it's still your book, and it's still, you know, somebody has that in their hands, and you want to make very, very careful that they treat it like the Hope Diamond, because that's how you feel about it.
And, you know, that's the thing about it. It's about opening up everything and being honest with yourself, because you internally, you'll know whether you want to work with that person or not. Don't you feel, Amy?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Always go with your gut. Always go with your gut. If an editor is a smaller house or an individual, but your gut reaction says this is the person I have to have, then go with it. If you feel that, you know, an editorial staff that's made up of 50 is something you want to do instead, go with your gut. Whatever feels good to you is probably the right thing. So, you know, like I said, you're the biggest cheerleader of your book. So just make sure that nobody else puts it down. You know, take the criticism from an editor. Try to shine your book. Put the shine on your book. But as far as an editor, if say they don't like one of the lines in your book or they don't like a paragraph and they write a comment and say you should really throw this out, and you're the author and you say, I really, really want that paragraph in, keep it. You're the author. So, but just make sure that you can also have an open mind and not go into it thinking, well, I'm Hemingway, so this is perfect, because, of course, we're not. And even, you know, Hemingway wasn't perfect. So, you know, no offense to the Hemingway fans out there. None of us are perfect. It's impossible.
And Amy's website is therightcompanion.com. It's the WRITE companion.com. You can also be found on Twitter, Facebook, and a lot of social media also, aren't you, Amy?
Oh, yes, kind of all over the place. Google Plus is on there, Facebook, Twitter. My team keeps up a whole bunch of them, actually, but I will talk to you personally. I'm not one of those people where somebody just sends you a letter back that's a form. I don't want to do stuff like that. I still don't like that. And as far as book reviews, authors always ask me this. They get very worried about book reviews because they don't want anybody to say anything bad about their book. As a book reviewer myself, unfortunately, book reviewers do have to be truthful. It doesn't mean they hate the book, but if they say something like, oh, I just didn't like this cover, or, you know, everything was great about this book except maybe the flow of the romance was off or something like that. Don't get upset about it. It's still a book review and it's still press for you. And not all book reviews are going to be 5 stars. Again, that would be impossible. When I get 5-star reviews, I mean, again, I'm just absolutely humbled by it. And it's a thrill, and it's amazing that the bloggers out there or the fans out there or Goodreads, you know, whoever it may happen to be, does it for you. That's wonderful. But if I get, I mean, I've gotten reviews off too, because, of course, with the Angel Chronicles, you're dealing with religion in a way. It's not all religion because it's based down here, but, and, you know, some people, of course, are going to take that wrong because everybody has their own views on what I'm talking about. So I don't expect everybody to say, oh my gosh, this is perfect. So as an author, don't let that get you down. Just keep writing, you know, write the next one, keep doing it, and you'll get your fans. Your fans will like it, and those are the people you're writing for.
And, you know, that's the thing. You're writing for yourself to expand the world and entertain the world, aren't you?
Well, yeah. I mean, the readers out there are the ones that are going to buy your book, and they're going to pick it up, and they're going to make their own decisions. As we all know with movies, let's be honest, some of the greatest movies of all time had the worst reviews you could possibly imagine, but that doesn't keep us from going to the movie theater to see the movie. So, you know, just because reviewers don't happen to like the movie makes billions and billions of dollars. So just remember that. You're writing for fans. And if they like it and if it catches on and they feel great about it, then you should feel great about it, whether or not you have a bad review or not. I mean, and you meet such amazing people. I used to say that, and I still say, as a writer, if I can touch one life, then I've done something great. And with the Angel Chronicles, I was able to meet a little girl. Emily and Matthew changed her life, and I felt like, okay, good, that's it. You know, I don't have to be a millionaire. I don't have to have the big house because I wouldn't like it anyway. I'd probably get lost in it. But knowing that that little girl was blessed by something I said and something that came from my head, I mean, that was the most amazing moment of my life. I'm still amazed by it. I'm in shock. So just remember, you know, you can touch that one life out there, and if you hadn't have written that book, that person never would have felt that way, you know, never would have been blessed at that moment. So that's an amazing feeling. I think it's like being handed an Oscar.
And it is. And, Amy, we're out of time. And it's thewritecompanion.com. It's WIRTE.companion. You got an article, editing, ghostwriting. Get a hold of Amy. It's all the information is on the website. And now, Amy, give them some writing wisdom and some of that luminary wit, and I'll close out the show.
Luminary wit. Okay. Just don't stop. Please don't stop. And someday you're going to get a letter from your icon. I got one from Dean Koontz. I almost fell right out of my chair. Keep doing it. This is a beautiful thing, and you're going to be able to meet amazing people, so do not stop.
And I want to thank Amy Ligner. We'll be here next Tuesday and Thursday. And I want to say goodnight. Thank all the listeners and Amy and all the listeners for being part of my show. And thank you and good night.